just thank you right now for just who you are. We thank you that you are love. And today, as we come together as one body, that you would just manifest yourself. Let your words come forth, God. It's not me, but it's you who speaks through me. And Lord, I just pray that for every person, wherever they may be right now, that you would just open their ears to hear what you are saying to them today, that you would just give them strength and give them encouragement for life, oh God, and for help to draw closer to you. Lord, I just thank you and I give you all the praise and the glory and honor. You are just so good. You are so wonderful. You are deserving of all of our praise. And I love you, Lord. I love you. And as the song says, I lift my voice to worship you. Oh God, you are deserving of all the praise and all the worship. And so today, as we dive into your word, it really is just our reasonable service. It's just our token of worship this morning. And so God, I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I am not going to do a lot of jumping around today. I said I'm going to try to stay focused. And I believe, you know, we've read a few of these scriptures probably over the last month. But as I was just thinking about love, you know, all I could just think throughout the week is just God is love, plain and simple. God is love. And I know we have already heard about that. But I wanted to look at a scripture that just came to me, and we're going to read a big chunk of the scripture, but I think it's because you need to look at it all together. Sometimes we look at one scripture here, one scripture there, and we miss the full context. And honestly, I'm just going to be real upfront with you. As I was reading this, I said, boy, once I read this, I think that it actually just all speaks for itself. So I really could close the book and just move on after that. That's how powerful these particular scriptures are. And being able to read it in the voice version, I think it's just so clear. But today what we're going to read is out of 1 John chapter 4. And if you have your voice version that we have been using for the last couple of years or so, it is on page 1516. If you do not have a voice version of the Bible, you can always look on the internet and just Google search 1 John chapter 4. And Bible Gateway has all kinds of versions of the Bible. So you can look for it in you can look for it in the voice version on Bible Gateway or any other Bible site for that matter. But if you do not have that and you just have King James or whatever version of the Bible you have, I will read and keep track of the scripture number where I'm at. So that way you can follow along and not lose sight. But I just pray that you would just hear what the Lord is saying today about love, and I pray that you learn something from it, because even I am learning as I read. So much as I want to read the whole chapter, because I think it's pretty amazing, I'm going to start with verse 7. And so 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, and we are actually going to read all the way through verse 21. Again, that's page 1516. And it says, my loved ones, let us devote ourselves to loving one another. Love comes straight from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and truly knows God. Verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Because of this, the love of God is a reality among us. God sent his only son into the world so that we could find true life through him. Verse 10, this is the embodiment of true love. Not that we have loved God first, but that he loved us and sent his unique son on a special mission to become an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So, my loved ones, if God loved us so sacrificially, surely we should love one another. No one has ever seen God with human eyes, but if we love one another, God truly lives in us. Consequently, God's love has accomplished its mission among us. How can we be sure that he truly lives in us and that we truly live in him? By one fact, he has given us his spirit, We have watched what God has done, and we stand ready to provide eyewitness testimonies to the reality that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15, if anyone unites with our confession that Jesus is God's own Son, then God truly lives in that person, and that person lives in God. We have experienced and we have entrusted our lives to the love of God in us. God is love. Anyone who lives faithfully in love also lives faithfully in God, and God lives in him. This love is fulfilled with us so that on the day of judgment, we have confidence based on our identification with Jesus in this world. Verse 18, love will never invoke fear. Perfect love expels fear, particularly the fear of punishment. The one who fears punishment has not been completed through love. We love because he has first loved us. Verse 20, if someone claims, I love God, but hates his brother or sister, then he is a liar. Anyone who does not love a brother or sister whom he has seen cannot possibly love God whom he has never seen. Verse 21, he gave us a clear command that all who love God must also love their brothers and sisters. And in the Voice version, it says, it's easy to say, I love God, but genuine love reflects God's love. If we belong to God, then we will love each other regardless of how hard love is. And so I was thinking about, you know, a title for today. And I don't know that this is necessarily a good title, but the more I thought on these particular scriptures, and we're going to go through the scriptures and kind of outline the key points in the scripture that talk about love. But I was just thinking about the power of love. And just being able, I was amazed as I read this, and it came in my mind, like, we have the ability to create an atmosphere of love. We have the ability by our actions and how we treat other people to create an atmosphere where God abides, where God can manifest. And I thought, and sometimes we think about, oh, well, I can't reach God. I can't feel God, or I can't know God, or something like that. But the reality is that it is in your power. It is in your ability to bring God closer to yourself simply through simple actions of love. And we've learned from 1 Corinthians 13 about all the things that love is. And by looking at what love is, you can see what love is not by looking at those scriptures. But it's actually in 1 Corinthians 13 is a very clear outline of the actions that you can take, you know, or the attitude that you can have toward another person or toward any person for that matter. But the attitude that you can have and thereby create love, thereby live in love. And the reality is that if you can live in love, then God is always with you. And with him being always with you, then, you know, when God is with us, there's nothing impossible to us. So if we're looking for victory in our lives, if we're looking for transformation in our lives, if we're whatever we're looking for in terms of our lives, really, when you look at it, it all boils down to love. If you can start from the place of love, everybody thinks about with our Christian faith, oh my goodness, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. It's always so much stuff that you feel like you have to do in order to, if you will, be accepted. But that's not true. The only thing, even in this scripture, the last scripture says, he gave us a clear command that all who love God must also love their brothers and sisters. If you can't do anything else, if you can't figure out anything else, if you can just live faithfully in love, if you can live with an attitude of love, a heart of love, not only toward God, but toward your brothers and sisters, then transformation can happen. You know, you can know that you are accepted before God because you're living, you know, you're really living in the presence of God. You're living out who God is, which is love. And so I wanted to just go through these scriptures, hopefully pretty quickly. But I wanted to just point out some important things about love based on these scriptures. You know, first of all, it says that we must devote ourselves to loving one another. And what does that mean to devote? It means to give all or a large part of your time or your resources to a person, to an activity, to a cause. So first of all, for us as Christians, the number one responsibility that we have is to really devote ourselves to love, to have this attitude that I'm going to give everything that I have to practicing love. No matter how difficult it is, I am going to do this. It says in, you know, in these scriptures, everyone who loves is born of God and truly knows God. So you, again, you may say, well, how do I know, you know, that I'm accepted before God? You can ask yourself, am I living in love? If you are living in love, then you can clearly say that I am a child of God, because God is love, and all of his offspring are going to also have that attitude, that fruit of love coming forward from them. It says anyone who does not love does not know God. So you can actually, what's interesting about this scripture is really, if you read back from to the beginning of this chapter, it's really talking about your ability to discern pretty much good from evil in the world. And what this is saying, what, and so when you get into this scripture, what it's saying is that how can you know a person is of God, a person has, you know, or is after God's own heart? You can look at how they love, you know, if they are love, if they are operating in love, if they're working their hardest to show love towards other, then you can say reasonably, okay, I think this person, you know, this may person may be, you know, of God. I can walk, continue to look at their actions and things like that. But you can say, all right, this person and I have something in common. But if somebody's not operating in love, then you can easily say, okay, it's a question mark. You know, I don't know that this person is really of God if they can't do the fundamental thing, which is to love. God, number, you know, of course, the number one, and you've heard this before, is that when you look at these scriptures, God is love, plain and simple. When you're looking in our society, a lot of people are saying, you know, what God is and isn't. And it's a, and I think if you look at it, and if the one thing that you can say when somebody says, well, God this and God that, is that aligned with love? If whatever that person is saying is aligned with love, then you can say, okay, that sounds like God to me. So again, it's about being able to tell the difference between what is and what isn't. You know, is this of God? Is this not of God? Again, you can look back to love to know whether or not that's the case. And the most amazing thing about God is that not only did he tell us to love, he showed us love. That's what this scripture is also talking about. It says he showed us love by sending his own son to pay the price for our sins. And I think that that's amazing. Like in so many things, you know, people may say, oh, do as I say, but not, you know, but not as I do. And God is saying, do as I say and also do as I do. And I showed you the ultimate true love by sending my son, you know, so that way he can cover your sins, that way he can make you whole and bring you back to himself. So you can see that we have a God who not only is just sitting up telling us what to do, but we have a God that is actively engaged in the very thing that he's telling us. He's saying, listen, do what I've done. Do follow my example. I love so much that I gave sacrificially, you know, of my only son to save the whole world for forever. And all I'm asking you to do is just love your fellow brothers and sisters. I mean, when you think about it, it's actually it's really no comparison in some ways, you know, but we have to all realize that God has called us to love, to follow his example. Now, it also says, you know, when you see love in action, you see God. And I think that that is something very powerful. People may say, oh, I don't see God. I don't see God. And the thing is that every time you see love in action, every time you see somebody loving their brother or sister, you are seeing God, plain and simple. It says, when we actively love others, God is growing and perfecting his love in us. I think that that is another powerful statement. Sometimes we're always trying to figure out how to do things on our own and try to make things work for ourselves. And what these scriptures are saying to us is that if you want to devote yourself to love and just make that commitment in your heart that you're going to love, then as you do those things, as you show love toward other people, then God is working in your heart to he's working in your heart to perfect his love in you. And so sometimes you may think, well, I'm going to try to figure out how I can, you know, walk in God's love and how can I be more perfect in God's love. And the thing is that it's not really anything you can do it, but it's not anything you necessarily have to even think about. All you have to think about is that I am going to work and devote myself to caring for others and loving others. Like you, I want to use a different word, because when I'm just saying love, 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 you're like, huh, huh, huh. When you are caring for others with a genuine heart, then God is transforming your own heart and making you even more into the image of himself. And what is the image of God? The image of God is love. So he is making you more into love. And I think that that is pretty amazing. And I think the other part of it is that it really, you know, sometimes people say being a Christian is so hard. And the reality is that it's not, because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, working in us to do the very thing that God is asking us to do. So you may say, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, that's not true. Because if one, you just make up your mind that I'm going to work my hardest to devote myself to love, and then you just acknowledge that at the point where you accepted Christ into your life, he gave you his Holy Spirit to help you, then all you have to do is keep that thought in your mind that I'm going to work hard to love others and care for others. I am going to allow the Holy Spirit to help me do those things. And then guess what? You can just go out and do it. It's really like you have help in, not, it's not like you have help inside of you to do the very thing that God is asking you to do. And that's pretty powerful. So the other thing that we learn from these scriptures is that his Spirit is there to help us love. Another part of this scripture is just saying that we must faithfully live in love. And when you say faithfully, it means to remain firm in our support for, to make it our duty to love. It goes right back to that word devote that was at the beginning of the scriptures. That if we faithfully live in God, you know, or live in love rather, if we faithfully live in love, then as we do that, we are faithfully abiding and living in God's presence, and in God's presence, and his presence is living in us. So that's what it goes back to what I said at the beginning, that there is power in love, that you have the ability to create an atmosphere where God is constantly with you. And all you have to do is just love other people, care for other people. And you can be assured that every time you care, every time you love, and it's not even anything big. I mean, it could be small things that you just encourage somebody, you know, you give somebody a hug. I mean, just things that technically are free. If you really think about it, I'm not saying go out and buy somebody a car or something like that. No, I'm just saying little things. As you do these little things, then God is dwelling with you and you are dwelling with God. As you do these little things, as you make up in your mind to love other people, then you're creating an atmosphere of power. You're creating an atmosphere of transformation. You're creating an atmosphere of deliverance. And that alone can transform everything around you. That can transform not only you, and it does transform you, but it transforms other people. I think another powerful part of this scripture is that it says that there is no fear in love. If fear is being used in a situation, if fear is being used in a relationship, then plain and simple, that's not love. You know, it says in here that love expels fear. And when I looked up the word expels, it says it forces out or it ejects. And when you expel something, it's not like this. I'll just say it as, when you expel something, it is a forceful activity. So love is like, no fear. So it pushes that fear out forcefully, proactively pushes out that fear. So if you're dealing with a situation where somebody's like, oh, I love you, but they're doing all these things that cause you to fear, like, you know, I love you, but if you leave me, something will happen to you, or, you know, whatever, you can't make it without me and things like that. That's not love. That is not the kind of love that God is talking about. And so it is so important for us to realize what true love really is, what true love really does. And I think the other powerful part of this, you know, it's all very powerful, but it says it especially expels, you know, that fear of punishment. Sometimes, you know, people question whether or not God really, you know, really loves them. They question whether or not they're going to make it to heaven. Like some people, and I don't know if it's as much nowadays as it was in the past, but people would walk around all the time just wondering, oh, am I going to make it to heaven and things. They were always concerned that there was some sin that would keep them, you know, away from God and different things like that. But if God is love, if God is constantly drawing us to himself through his love, then the thing is that he's not actively looking for ways to push you out of his present and push your presence and push you out of, you know, a future, an eternity with him. And so the thing is that God is not walking around using fear to keep you kind of in check. He's not walking around using fear and this threat of punishment. Oh, you're going to go to hell, so you better love me. You know what? If you look at this scripture alone, that logic that so many people have used for so many years, that fear of hell, that fear of punishment, that's not really of God. You know, it's not that we should sit around thinking like, oh, I'm not concerned about hell or anything like that. But you shouldn't walk around every day living your whole life thinking like, oh, I did something bad and I'm going to go to hell and God doesn't love me anymore. That's not God. That's not what he's all about. And so I think it's so important for us to get that in our mind, to realize that we have grace, that we have mercy, you know, and it's not that you take that grace and you take that mercy and use that as a liberty to go out and do whatever you want to do. That is not, and really it's you use it as a liberty to sin. That is not what that's about. Honestly, when you really think about it, when you really have the love of God being perfected in you, you're going to just want to do the right thing. You're going to just want to keep loving people. I mean, you don't even have to think about that. I mean, I remember when I was younger, I probably walked around a lot thinking about, oh my goodness, hell this, hell that. But as I got older and got more confident in the love of God, got more confident about his love for me, you know, I just didn't think about that anymore. I just kept thinking about the good that I could do, not for myself because I'm trying to make it into heaven or anything, but because I want the world to experience that same kind of love. You know, I want the world to experience that that deliverance and that transformation. I mean, think about it for all of us. The one thing that drew us to God is that love. It was that feeling of love, you know, that just overtook us and overwhelmed us. And we said, you know what? This is how I want to spend the rest of my life. And so for me, and I'm sure for many of you, it's the same way. The only thing in your mind when I wake up is, how can I serve other people and make their lives better? How can I bring heaven into the earth so people can really see what God is all about and what that eternal future is going to be like? That's all I think about. And so I think the thing is that it's so important for us to realize, again, what love really is and what love really is not. Again, you can go back to 1 Corinthians 13, or you can listen to on the internet, listen to the teachings from the last 3 weeks that tell us about what love really is. Get that in your spirit. And as you get that in your spirit, honestly, you don't even have to think about it. It just becomes a natural outpouring of who you are. And I think that that is so important for us to realize. You know, it's important too for us to see that our love is not of our own accord. You know, our love is possible because God's love came first. And it's him that is loving through us, and it's him that's loving in us, that's giving us the ability to do, you know, to giving us really the ability to love. So you can't sit back and say, oh, well, I love, like, I just decided to love, and therefore, you know, I'm doing everything that I need to do. No, God loved you first, even when you didn't deserve it. He loved you first, and he used that love. There's a scripture, and I can't remember exactly where it is. It's probably in my phone, but I'm not going to take the time to pull it up. But it says, with loving kindness has he drawn us. So the reason why we're here right now, the reason why we're even living for God, is because he drew us first to himself. I mean, and the thing is that, again, God isn't drawing anybody through fear. he's not drawing anybody through like, oh, this threat of punishment or something like that. He's drawing us through loving kindness, through constantly like doing good for us, saying, hey, listen, if you come over here, this is what's going to happen. Now, by no means does that mean everything in your life is going to be perfect. What that means is that because he loves us so much, even with the bad things, because sometimes, you know, I've said this before, we learn so much more from the bad things in our life than from the good things. So really, we have a wise God who knows that I can't just give everybody good things all the time, because if I do that, they're not going to really appreciate anything. But when you realize that you were not worthy of something and something good came to you, you are so thankful. You are so happy. You're so appreciative, all because it's like, oh man, I know I didn't deserve that. I mean, when we look at our lives, we could look and say, my goodness, I know what all the crazy stuff I did in my life. I deserved hell. I deserved to go down, like have all kinds of bad things happen to me. But look, each and every one of us right now, we're alive. For the most part, we are well, you know, we have, you know, all of our limbs and, you know, and even if we didn't have all those things, we're still living a pretty prosperous life, because there's a lot of people that don't have food, that don't have clothes, or don't have a place to live. There are so many people without so much. And look at where we are right now. We have so much to be thankful for. But the reality is that we necessarily deserve all that we have. If we really look back on our life and how much we messed up, you know, we probably should have been in jail, a mental institution, prison, all kinds of stuff. But look at what God did. It's because of his love that he took all of those things, you know, and he worked it out for our good. So it's so important to realize that you're not loving of your own accord to some degree. You're loving because his love is in you and it's compelling you and it's pushing you forward. It's connecting you to himself. And if you would just hold on to that, no matter what's going on in your life, if you would hold on to the love of God, then you'll see such transformation. Almost done. If you say you love God but hate your brother or your sister, then you are a liar. Plain and simple. If you walk around talking about, I hate this person, I hate that person, guess what? That is not love. That is not God. And you can't sit around and in one breath say, I hate this or that person and I love God. Not possible. Plain and simple. So we must watch what we say. And then here's the other part of it. I'm going to go to a whole other level. Sometimes it's like, well, I didn't say that, but you thought it. If it's in your mind, you can just look at somebody, you can smile at them and be like, I can't stand them. You know? How many of us do that? We'll look and smile on your face and in your mind be like, I can't stand that person. And then and when the same voice be like, oh, well, bless the Lord. I love the Lord. No, you don't, because you don't love the person that's your brother and your sister. I mean, that's what Jesus said. Jesus always took things to a whole other level. It's like, oh, I'm not committing adultery. I'm not doing these kind of things. And it was like, did you look on that person in a bad way? Then guess what? You did it. And he didn't condemn you, like, you know, he just said, look at the reality of your heart. This is a heart thing. God is judging our heart. Our actions are, you know, just an extension of what's in our heart anyway. So if he can get to your heart, and that's why love is so important, is to be at your heart. But if you cannot love your brother or your sister that's right in front of you, plain and simple, you can't say you love a God that you can't see. You know, it's like, oh, I never seen God, but I love him. But the very image of God, who is a fellow human being, you can't stand them. That person bears the image of God. So you have to do, I mean, and it's not easy. There's a lot of times where you don't want to love. But again, that's where you have the Holy Spirit as your helper, so that way he can help you do things. When I was looking at this, and I'm almost done now, but when I was looking at this, I could see a cycle, really. You know, and it made me think about times in my life when somebody just really made me mad. And I'm not going to lie, I couldn't stand the person in many ways. Like, there was just something like a physical reaction in me that was like, I just don't want to deal with you. And do you know, I'm so thankful for God and his wisdom, because I kept saying to myself, that's not God, to have that kind of mentality about somebody. And every time I felt like that, what I did was go out and try to do something for that person. They didn't have to know why I was doing it. But if there's like this cycle, if you can keep putting love out there, if you can keep doing for others and caring for others in whatever way you can, then guess what? God continues to transform your heart and help you to love in those difficult situations. You know how it says practice makes perfect? Well, if you don't ever practice this, then you can't. It's really difficult to expect that suddenly when you need to, you're going to have the ability to do it. You got to practice it in the little things. You got to practice it. I mean, and you have to, when it comes to loving your enemies, you really have to proactively do that. You have to say in your mind, because it's easy to love people that love you. Very easy. That's nothing. Because again, there's a flow. And when somebody loves you, you just love them back. But when somebody treats you bad and they don't love you, something, the cycle stops. You're like, oh, I don't want to do it. But you got to force that cycle to start up again by doing something more for others. And that last point is that we have a clear commandment that all who love God must also love their brothers and sisters. It goes to a very important point. What does that mean? Love my brother and love my sister. Your brother and your sister is any person that you come in contact with. And they may not even be a Christian, but you should think of them as your brother and sister. So it's like they ask Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Everybody around you is your neighbor. Well, who is my brother and sister? Everybody around me, that's my brother and sister. It's a high standard, really. But you know what? It's a high standard that we can meet because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And again, it comes back to that there is power in love. There is power not just for other people, but there is power even for ourselves. I would probably say that for whatever situation we're facing in our lives, if we would just increase our love walk, if we would just commit more to love, because again, if you think about it, when you love, it creates an atmosphere of God, an atmosphere for his presence. And when you do that, then he comes into that. You are abiding with God. You are living with God. And so as you love, you bring God into your situation. And when God is in a situation, it transforms. You know, if you look at your heart and say, oh, my heart's not right, then guess what? If you love, you don't have to worry about trying to get your heart right. Like, oh, maybe what can I do to try to make my heart better? You don't have to worry about that. You worry about loving. And then as you do that, God will do transformation. You'll look back and say, huh, wow, my heart is different now. And you know why? It's because all you focused on was devoting yourself to loving your brother, loving your sister, loving God. Loving God comes naturally as you love your brother and sister. If you can love your brother and sister, you can love God. But if you can't love your brother and sister, that's like the number one requirement right there. So I would just encourage you to really just think about and read over these scriptures and think about the power that comes with love. Think about how every day you are capable of creating an atmosphere of power, an atmosphere where God reigns, where God lives, right where you are. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be connected necessarily to anybody else. But if you would just commit yourself to faithfully loving God every single day, you know, or loving others every single day, then everything else in your life will just begin to happen and come. It's the number one commandment. He said, hang all the law and the prophet on this law of love. Love God, love others. That is the whole sum of the everything that we believe. And so I think that that is what we have to remember today. You go back and you listen to what was taught for the last 3 weeks about what love is, and you use that as like your baseline. Am I, you know, judging others? Okay, that's not love. You know, am I forgiving others? Okay, that's love. You know, go in 1 Corinthians 13 and the Voice version and the Message version. It's very clear, kind of these general standards of what love and what love is not. And so you just look at that and then look at the situations that are in your life and compare the two and determine, okay, am I living according to this standard? And then if not, then just make a little plan for yourself. All right, I'm really just going to take one person that I can't stand this year. I'm going to give you the whole year, one person for this whole year. I'm just find that person I can't stand, and I'm just going to love them. I'm not going to tell them anything. I'm just going to do little things. Give them an encouraging word. buy them a little gift or something if you have the money. It's very simple. It's all kinds of things you can do. But I leave that between you and God. And so I just encourage you today to just love God, love your brother, love your sister. Continue, you know, the beautiful thing about being a part of Free Spirit is that every person that's on this Zoom, they all full of love. And if you feel like, oh, I can't really do it on my own, then connect with somebody else who's, you know, good at it. And you just spend time with them. You just talk to them and then that'll flow out on you. And before you know it, again, just make a commitment that for this year, that's going to be what I do. I'm just going to love, because right now I would say our world is really in need of a lot of love. So much devastation and difficulty over the last year, people struggling. And I think if we as Christians can do our part to love, not judge, but just love, then we'll see God begin to draw people to himself, and we'll see transformation. All the people we're believing God for in terms of salvation for our loved ones, you know, where it begins? It begins with love. It begins with just, you know, and you're like, well, where can I start? You can start by just being a friend. That's the easiest thing for us to understand. We know how to be a friend to somebody. Think about your best friend and how you interact with them and everything. Start by being a friend. Start by just simply caring about somebody. Hey, how's your day? Be genuinely interested in what's going on in their life. I always like to say our job as Christians also is just to partner with people in their life, partner with them on their journey. And if you partner with them in the journey, like, listen, I once told somebody, I said, listen, I'm just here to walk alongside you. That's it. You know, if you don't mind, I even asked, I was like, if you don't mind, you okay with me just walking this road with you? I mean, I know it might be difficult, but I'm just going to be here. I may not be able to do much, but at least you'll know you're not alone. And if you're okay with it, then I'm okay with it. And then that's when I really start to see transformation in the lives of people that I was dealing with. And so that is my encouragement, you know, to you today, that you just take on this atmosphere of love. And as we do that, we'll see transformation in ourselves and we'll see transformation all around us in the world. And so with that.